Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to continue on with this series talking about some, very helpful tactics when trying to witness to somebody, especially, or just communicate certain truths about our faith. Especially when you're in over your head, you're dealing with somebody that perhaps may know a little bit more about a subject than you do, or, well, if you just want to lead them to a particular truth, lead them down the same path that you have followed to reach a certain conclusion, using questions and helping them understand the same thing that you do. Because let's face it, guys, a lot of times when somebody just tells you something, it's a lot harder to accept than when you travel down that same road of logic and reach the same conclusion that they've reached before. And so over the last few days, we've been looking at some of the tactics that are found in Greg Kokel's book, Tactics. And again, just in review, we've talked about this Columbo technique that he talks about in this book. And there's three steps to it. The first two steps are very easy. And the third step, well, not so much. You need a little... It takes a little bit of practice. The first step, okay, when somebody makes a claim, you ask them, well, what do you mean by that? Or what does that mean? Okay, and you're trying to clarify exactly where their position is, exactly what they're trying to say. And then that second step, how did you come to that conclusion? Or how do you know that? Well, there's a million different ways you could say that. But anyway, what you're trying to find out is the reasons that they believe a particular thing. Now, with these two steps, you've now nailed down exactly what they're trying to say so that you don't misrepresent them. You've also bought yourself a little bit of time to think through what they're trying to say. And then secondly, you find out the reasons why they believe that. Okay, so far so good. I mean, that is so easy. All right? At this point, the third step is where it gets a little more dicey. You're using questions. Greg Kokel says it this way. You're using your questions like arrows, and those arrows are shooting you towards the target of your belief, your conclusion. Okay, so you're using questions to try to lead them to the same conclusion that you've already reached. In other words, you're persuading them with your questions. Okay, so, I don't know, for example, somebody says that maybe you're speaking out against the homosexual lifestyle, and somebody accuses you of hate speech. Okay, first step, what do you mean by hate speech? All right, perhaps they respond with something along the lines of, you condemn the homosexual lifestyle, you're condemning them. Perhaps your response can be, again, using questions, is it wrong to condemn or disagree with somebody's behavior? Now, at this point, chances are, well, some people will catch on and give you a blank stare as they're starting to realize that they have committed the very same thing that they're accusing you of. Or they might say, yeah, absolutely, it's wrong. At which time you ask them, should I consider this hate speech when you disagree with me or condemn my behavior or thoughts or actions or belief system? And okay, maybe that wasn't the best example, but you see what I'm saying? You're using questions to lead them to your line of thinking. You're helping them understand where you're coming from. This person is saying that you simply speaking out against a particular behavior is hate speech. First, you're clarifying what they mean by that, and then you're asking them if it's wrong. Now you're starting to use questions to bring them to your position. Is it wrong to condemn or disagree with somebody? Yes, it's wrong. You shouldn't push your beliefs on others. Okay, well then why are you pushing your beliefs on me? Or why are you using hate speech against me? Or do you hate people you disagree with? Questions like this, okay? So those are the first three steps of Columbo. Now, friends, this stuff is kind of difficult. That third step, that's pretty tough, I must admit. I've been reading this book over and over, listening to the audiobook, And practicing this when I remember to, good grief, it sometimes I just launch off into busting out facts and things that I've learned over the years. And guys, let's face it, that's sometimes not as effective as we'd like it to be, okay? People don't want to hear you busting out all these facts, okay? And that's where these questions are so much more effective. They're so winsome. They're so kind. You're having a conversation. It's no big deal. You're being friendly. You're being loving. And it just seems to work out so much better. But anyway, sometimes, somebody will say something to you. And in hindsight, sometimes, for me, it's like almost all the time. In hindsight, you're walking away from this encounter later on or that evening, and you're thinking, man, God, I really goofed that up. I could have done that so much better. Yeah, you probably could have. And that's a good time to stop, reflect, and think about how you could have said things better. Or perhaps you had an encounter where an opportunity completely passed you by because you just failed. You failed. Okay, that's okay. It's only a true failure if you don't learn from your mistakes, right? So, walk away from that. Think about it. Consider how you could have responded. You know, perhaps doing some role playing in your head. Figure out, okay, how could have I done that so much better, right? In doing so, chances are you're going to be ready the next time that claim is made. Or perhaps you might even have an opportunity to bring this conversation back up at a later date. Another thing that Greg Kokel mentions, and I do this all the time, is I'll be listening to some podcast, I'll be listening to some debate. Oh, debates are great for this. You're listening to a debate, and you hear the opposing side make an argument that just slaps you silly. And, okay, pause button. Okay, you hit the pause button, you think about it. All right, now, if I was William Lane Craig or Kent Hovind or one of these awesome debaters, I know I just said Kent Hovind next to William Lane Craig, two completely different people, but that's okay. I there's so much to glean from so many of these different guys who go out there and debate. But what would be the best way to respond to this person? And you think about it and perhaps using these tactics. Come up with your own questions. Come up with your own approach at getting to the bottom of this argument, figuring out exactly what they're getting at, finding out their reasons, and then using questions to lead them to the truth. All right? This stuff is effective. It's very effective. Practice makes perfect. And, you know, God's word says be ready in season and out of season. We got to practice. And so anyway, I want to change gears here. Another thing that's talked about in that book, and I just love this stuff, is self-defeating or self-refuting statements. Greg Kokel calls it the suicide tactic because these statements, they pretty much just commit suicide right out of the gate. Frank Turek and Norm Geisler, in their book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, they call it the roadrunner tactic. All right, same idea. Okay, so the coyote, he's chasing after Roadrunner, and all of a sudden Roadrunner is running towards a cliff. He steps out of the way or whatever, and the coyote just goes running off the cliff, and all of a sudden he's standing there in midair. Okay, he blinks a couple times, he looks down, he realizes he's in deep trouble, and then he falls to his doom. Okay, these statements, they defeat themselves. They are self-defeating statements. So the suicide tactic. All right, it's using questions to illuminate to a person their self-defeating statement. Here is a list, a long list, of 21 different self-defeating statements. This is from apologeticjunkie.blogspot.com. This is a great list. So the first one, there is no truth. Right out of the gate, guys, there is no truth. That is a self-defeating statement. If you apply that claim to itself, you could ask the question, is that true? See what I'm saying? If there is no truth, then if that statement is true, then it's false because that means there is a truth. And if it's false, well, then it's false and we don't have to take it seriously. So if somebody says to you, there is no truth, you could respond, is that true? Or how can it be true that there is no truth? See what I mean? Two, you can't know truth. Same type of statement. You could respond, then how do you know that? Three, no one has the truth. Then how do you know that is true? All truth is relative. Have you ever heard that one before? Oh, boy. I hear that all the time. You get that from the postmodern crowd. I suppose same with the rest of them. But you could respond, is that relative truth? Number five, it's true for you, but not for me. Now, guys, that just makes me come out of my skin. I start twitching. I fall over on the floor. I don't know what to do with myself with stuff like that. Is that just true for you or is it true for everybody? Number six, there are no absolutes. Are you absolutely sure about that? Number seven, no one can know any truth about religion. Then how did you come to know that truth about religion? Number eight, you can't know anything for sure. You could respond, then how do you know that for sure? See what I'm saying, guys? These statements refute themselves right out of the gate. They commit suicide. They run off a cliff and realize, I'm standing on thin air and I'm about to plummet to my doom. Number nine, you should doubt everything. This sounds like something you'd hear out of Richard Dawkins or somebody like that. One of those skeptics. You should doubt everything. A response could be, should I doubt that? Number 10, only science can give us truth. You could respond, what science experiment taught you that? Or what is your scientific evidence that only science can give us truth? Number 11, you can only know truth through experience. You could respond, what experience taught you that? 12, all truth depends on your perspective. You could respond, does that truth depend on your perspective? 13, you shouldn't judge. Thou shalt not judge. You've ever heard this one before? You could respond, if it's wrong to judge, then why are you judging me? 14, you shouldn't force your morality on people. You could respond, then please don't force your moral view that it's wrong to force morality. Or you could simply ask, then why are you pushing your morality on me? And number 15, you should live and let live. Your response can be, if that's your philosophy, then why are you telling me how to live? See how this works? Number 16, God doesn't take sides. Does God take that side? Number 17, you shouldn't try to convert people. You could respond, if it's wrong to convert, then why are you trying to convert me? 18, that's just your view. You could respond, well, that's just your view. Number 19, you should be tolerant of all views. You could respond, then why don't you tolerate my view? And number 20, it is arrogant to claim to have the truth. And you could respond, and this one's the best one. You could respond, my, that is awfully arrogant of you. All right, so on this apologeticsjunkie.blogspot.com website, these are great self-defeating statements. Some of them come off maybe perhaps a little too aggressive. Some of them I might word a little differently, but I can see where he's coming from. In fact, Greg Kokel makes an interesting point in his book about these tactics. There's pretty much two different approaches to using his tactics. You can approach tactics, and this is how I generally do it, friends, in a softer, more polite fashion. And this would be when you're trying to persuade the individual you're talking to. But there's also times where there's simply no persuading them, but there's others around that are watching this exchange. And there are times when you can be a little more aggressive with these tactics, because you know for a fact they're not going to persuade the individual you're having this conversation with, but there's a good chance that you might persuade some of the people listening. So having said that, some of these responses that I just mentioned, some of them were a little bit harsher, but at the same time, I guess it depends on the situation. Each one of these, though, each one of these responses, the essence of the response is fantastic because, again, these are self-defeating statements. They shoot their own foot. And so, yes, there is a way that you can word these where it's a softer, more polite fashion, and there's other ways that you can basically illuminate the fact that it is a self-defeating statement in a more aggressive fashion that will hopefully persuade those who are listening. And so anyway, we're right about 15 minutes. I'll go ahead and stop right there. Friends, if you'd like to chat about this, you can catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.